Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4, packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
All right, welcome back to hour number two of the program on this holiday Saturday. Beautiful day out there in Pittsburgh. So glad you're joining us, whether it's at home, driving around, whatever the case. Joel Nelson has taken over. Thank you, Matt Harkins, as he leaves the building. Shift change right here. Nelson comes on, a fresh approach as we head into the hour number two, and we do have a lot to get into today. But first, I want to tell you about our show, which is brought to you by PNC Bank. Make today the day at PNC Bank. Check out their virtual wallets, always outstanding. And number one Cochrane, go one better, drive in style with number one Cochrane. Expressway at Cochrane.com. Iron Rock Tap House in Greensburg. Come see what everyone's talking about. You want a great place to go hang out? Iron Rock Tap House is the place. Right there next to the live casino. Twitter on the Fan is brought to you by South Hills Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram, Peters Township. Visit them online, southhillsjeep.com. And you can text us on the Edgar Snyder & Associates Fan text line, which is the same as the call-in line, 412-928-9370. Edgar Snyder & Associates extends and tells you to text responsibly. All right, so I talked about Chip Ganassi, what he's going to do, try to win a sixth time at the Indy. He's got Alex Palou as his pole setter for the top 10. He's in great position to do that. And you heard Joel just now give you an update that Dwayne Underwood Jr. has been DFA'd. He pitched last night. And now you wonder who's going to go in the bullpen for the Pirates. And I would imagine that that would be Luis Ortiz, although he's coming off a good start. I like him in the starting role, but they had to make room for Vince Velasquez. So he will pitch today. You'll hear that coming up today at after 4 o'clock. The North Shore Tavern leadoff show with Josh Rountree begins at 3. It's Velasquez against Luis Castillo, another good pitcher for Seattle. 3-2, 2.97 on that ERA. Let's go to the lines. We have a lot of people, and I want to get through them and give you an opportunity to talk about what's on your mind. Jake in the truck joins us right now. Hey, Jake.
Hey, Pomp. Just wanted to say from your last segment, you were talking about younger people taking an approach, you know, positive approach, and how important that is. And, you know, you set a very good example, Bob. You really do, and you do a nice show here. But the reason I'm calling today, I wanted to talk to you about the Penguins general manager search. If you think that, you know, everything with Dubas, I mean, it appears to be obviously legitimate meeting with Crosby at midnight, you know, a few nights ago. Just what are your thoughts? Who do you think they're going to go with?
Well, it would seem like he's the guy right now. They originally had him as their man and they couldn't talk to him. And then he came out and said that it's at Toronto or nowhere. And then Shanahan says you're done, or they come to a mutual, you know, way of parting. Now he's back in you know, center stage. I'd be wondering, Jake, what that meeting was about with Sidney Crosby. And yes, you should meet with people like Sidney Crosby. However,
of course,
if you are Dubas, you may have the same thought that Ron Hextall had at some point and maybe is breaking up the big three. I would be intrigued to find out if he asked that question of Sidney. What would you think if I came in and tried to make a deal with some of these guys? Now, of course, you have no trade. You know, they doubled down on the big three lasting. Crosby, to me, has always been exempt, but I always thought there could be a chance that Malkin, in fact, I would have traded Malkin by now, and Letang would have been moved. And apparently, according to the reporting of Rossi and Yoey, that was discussed, and then it was shot down, and they had instead gave them all long-term deals.
Yes. Let me ask you this question. And I'll hang up after this. But what would be your thoughts if the next general manager was willing to trade the big three to Chicago for Connor Bedard? I know it would never happen, but
it won't happen, Jake.
Love your show, Bob.
Yeah, thank you. I appreciate it. Enjoy the day in the truck, Jake, and thank you for the nice words. you know, I got to believe that that conversation had something to do with not just, hey, Sydney, what's up? I mean, there had to be some exchange of thoughts and ideas. And I think it's important that he talks to Crosby about that kind of stuff. But again, it's not none of that. When you give away no trade clauses and a six-year contract to Chris Letang, when you give 4 more years to Evgeny Malkin, they made their choice last offseason. And originally, according to Yoey and Rossi, who are always on top of this, it looked like that Hextall may have been interested in moving somebody. And that never was allowed to happen. I think the Fenway group needs to be talked to. They should be more willing to speak and extend their thoughts about what they have here. Because if I'm Kyle Dubas, number one, first of all, let me just say this. All due respect to Kyle Dubas. He's 37. He has everything that people like. The metrics, the analytics, the youth. He's made some good deals at the trade deadline. But he's also not been able to get Toronto over the hump. He inherited a pretty good top three guys over there, okay? You could argue that he gave Mitch Marner way too much money. You could argue that there are some guys that are overpaid there and will cost them in time. But he never did satisfy the goaltending woes that they've had. They tried Matt Murray. That didn't work this year. They've tried a number of people. So, as a result, they have one playoff series win in 5 years. That's on his resume. You know, I know why people like him, but I also know that he may not be the right man for the job. I'm not privy to what goes on with some of these interviews that they've had and what they're looking for, but it seems to me, if you read the tea leaves, that Kyle Dubas was their man from the beginning. Then they had to conduct 10 other interviews because he wasn't available, but then he became available, and then they asked for permission. To me, Kyle Dubas will be the guy they hire, but again, I would have my concerns if I'm them, and I would have my concerns if I'm him. I don't know that this job is as attractive as it once was. You're going to have to figure out a way to come up with people who can, you know, complement those big three. That's been the thing that's been missing here for the last several years. And they have some high big-end contracts that they're tied up in. And, you know, how do you get out from under those? If he's magical in how he handles this kind of situation, sure, maybe he can come in and do that. There are other jobs out there that may be more attractive. I looked at the Ottawa roster today. If you're just comparing younger rosters, you know, the Ottawa roster is a tremendous roster. They ended up looking for somebody. You know, I don't know if he's, you know, again, I think Dubas is going to be the man based on everything we've seen so far. 412-928-9370. Carol in Clinton is up next. Hello, Carol. How are you?
I'm good, Bob. Hey, I'm going to talk hockey also, but this is a little bit different subject. You know, I'm really excited to see the Panthers, what they've done and how they've, you know, come through this postseason. And I hope they win it all because they're one of the teams that have never won it, right?
Well, absolutely. And boy, have they. They're 11-1 in their last 12 games after falling behind 3-1 to Boston in their first series. You never thought they'd be able to dig out from that, but they did.
Right. But my one question is, that hit that Matthew Tkachuk laid on, I can't remember the defenseman's name, Carolina. That hit that he laid on him early in that game, where that kid couldn't even stand up, I don't see in any other sport that that's a clean hit. How does hockey get away with this?
Well, there have been a lot of hits that have gone on here that I wonder about. In the Dallas series, there have been a couple, too. Unless it's, you know, head contact, they've tried to eliminate the head contact. If you hit someone hard and it's you know, shoulder to chest or whatever, it's all legal. It's if you do it from behind with the numbers, you hit a guy in the numbers and he goes head first in the wall, that should be, you know, something that's eliminated. But I think overall, Carol, they kind of like the physical part of it. This is a sport, you have to remember, is trying to still advance and grow. And they think the physicality of it and even fighting still at times, even though you don't see a lot of it anymore, but they think that's somewhat of an attraction.
Yeah, I understand that, but I mean, I actually felt sick to my stomach when I saw that kid trying to stand up and then he fell back down, and I can't believe in any other sport that would be considered a clean hit, but maybe that's just my opinion.
Well, they've been slow to hand out like meaningful suspensions, and I think that's where the Department of Player Safety needs to get better. They need to do it and send more messages. They're just not willing to do it. But Carol, thanks. I appreciate the call.
Okay.
And have a nice weekend. Harry is next up in Westview. Harry, how you doing today?
Great, Pomp. How are you?
Just wonderful, man. Look outside. You got to enjoy every day.
Well, my dog's looking outside. She thinks it's beautiful. So it must be.
Wouldn't you like to be? A dog has such a great life. People say, you're treated like a dog. I would love to be treated like a dog. Wouldn't you?
Absolutely. And kids, too. Kids are so innocent. I mean, in the world, nothing affects them, it seems like, a lot of times. Even though things do, they're just something else.
Actually, I think, you know, I've seen recently some young kids dealing with some really difficult diagnosis of diseases. And, you know, if you're a kid, the one thing that you don't know is how serious things can be, and maybe that works as an advantage because you have no idea.
We should all be like that. Yep, we should all be like that. You know what, you're avid golfer that you are, Bob. I don't know how often you play the scrubbier courses, but what is your favorite Pittsburgh course that's like, say, under $50 with a cart or under $60 with a cart?
That's a limited. Under $50 with a cart today, man,
okay.
It's hard enough to get.
I walk all the time. So let's just say the minimum.
Well, I mean, I'm going to tell you what I think public courses that I've played that I really like, okay? And you can go from there. Okay, I think one of them is Pleasant Valley. If you've never been there,
I have been there.
Okay, you know, in Connellsville?
Yes.
They put a lot of money into it, the new ownership group, who is Tuffy Schallenberger. He owns the Riverhounds, and he owns that golf course. And he's put a lot of time and money into it. And they've really made some nice holes there. And I think it's for the price. It is a really good golf experience. So I'll start there. I think Old Stonewall, now this is more pricey, but Old Stonewall is a great golf course. It has tremendous views, great condition. My son-in-law, Mac Matheson, just did a charity event there for Arsenal Family Center in Pittsburgh. And I'll tell you, it's
top three in the state, I think, right?
It is, but it's expensive comparatively. I mean, you're looking for $50. I can't give you too many of that within. Cranberry Highlands is a very nice golf course. Grandview's a good golf course. Those are all.
I love Champion Lakes. Yeah.
Champion Lakes is great. There's no question about Champion Lakes. Thick Rose Place.
Three holes to start, I think.
And it's beautiful. It sits there up in the, you know, the off 7-Eleven. It's such a nice area of Ligonier.
Sure is. Well, thank you, buddy, for your time. You have a great day.
All right, Harry, you too. Thank you. Well, I'm glad you enjoy the game of golf. That's the most important thing. And walking's a good thing if you can do that. To me, it's always been a healthful and convenient joy. And speaking of golf, so Michael Block, the Block party ended. You know, he took golf by storm by hitting a hole-in-one on the final day, paired with Rory McIlroy. The place went nuts at Oak Hill in Rochester, New York. He became an overnight name. He got endorsements. He got an opportunity to play this week in the event down there in Fort Worth, and he's got a next one coming up at the RBC in Canada. However, he did not make the cut this week. I think he's tired, too. I can't even imagine the whirlwind he's been on. He finished last. Didn't make the cut. But you know what? What a great experience. It goes to show you, when you get hot, if you're a decent golfer, he took a lot of crap for a comment he made, and I understood it, but, you know, I understand why he's going to take a feedback here, too, that's not necessarily good, when he said, if I had Rory McIlroy's length, then I would be a world-class golfer. I get that. If you can hit the ball the way he hits the ball, he's got a really good short game, Michael Block, but I wouldn't have gone that far. He opened himself up for criticism, and so now, you know, the man who thought maybe he could be a world-class golfer with more length did not make the cut and finished last in Fort Worth at the Colonial, so... But still a great story. And there's so many great PGA pros in our area here in Western Pennsylvania. And I give them a shout out for all the good work they do at their various clubs, dealing with their membership, trying to make things great for them, and still trying to be competitive on the local tri-state tour. So it's tough to do. There's so many good golfers. And by the way, can I give a little shout out here to the Palmer Cup, which is coming to Laurel Valley Golf Club, June 6, 7, 8, 9, I think it is. Laurel Valley is a great place, one of the best venues worldwide, I think. And they're going to have the best, it's like the Ryder Cup for college kids. And they got some kids that are going to play. That course is going to be playing over 7,000 yards for the men back there. I'm not sure what the length for the women is, but it's going to be like a Ryder Cup event. And it's going to be fun to see. So if you get a chance, you may want to check that out, the Palmer Cup at Laurel Valley coming in early June. Let's go to John in Beaver right now. Hey, John, how you doing?
Hey, Bob. I can't believe I'm talking to you, man. First time I got a chance to talk to you.
I appreciate your calling. It's my first time talking to you, too. So good. Let's go.
Okay, so here's my thing, man. I've been always wanting to know this, man. Way back when you were on the nightly sports call, man, what was the deal with the stupid Rob Scuderi jokes, man? I had no idea why that was funny. I'll hang up and I'll listen. Thanks.
Well, first of all, we still do that. You're going back a long way. You know, I'm not sure where the Rob Scuderi stuff started. but it got a life of its own, so that people would call up and just mention Rob Scuderi. And I don't know exactly why, to be honest with you. I remember our producers at the time saying, what is this all about? And I said, I'm not sure. But so, John, I don't have an answer for you, but I do know we get a lot of interesting calls on that show, and we still do the show. It's every night at 10:35 on Pittsburgh CW. So Ireland Contracting, nightly sports call. Don't miss it. You never know what you're going to get. And we have a lot of people from The Fan who come on and other media outlets. So I think it's always fun to hear from people. And that's a good opportunity to do that. But I don't know the answer to your question, unfortunately. But it was something that became something we talked about a lot, or people did anyway. One other note, I just want to throw this up before we go to break. Tampa Bay, did you see what they're doing in baseball? 38-15 now. They're 25-5 at home. It's one of the best home records first 30 game in the history of the game. That's how good they've been. And, man, they're making it tough on people like Baltimore, which is off to a 33-18 start, and they're still six games out of first place. We'll take a break. 412-928-9370. More calls all the way till 1 o'clock. That's when Paul Alexander will join you. And later today, it's the return of Josh Rountree as he hosts the North Shore Tavern leadoff show in advance of the Pirates and Seattle Mariners in Game 2 of the series. With Joel Nelson behind the glass, Bob Pompiani with you until 1 o'clock today, and then that's Paul Alexander at 412-928-9370. Listen to Cook and Joe every Wednesday to hear about Starkey's Card of the Week from the Baseball Card Castle and Cranberry Contest run every Wednesday through Friday at 12 p.m. at 937thefan.com. Contesting page. Our show is brought to you by the good people of PNC Bank. Make today the day we are driven in style, riding big with number one Cochran. Shop 24/7 with Expressway at Cochran.com and check out all the great food, the beverages, the atmosphere, the vibe at Iron Rock Tap House in Greensburg. Come see what everyone is talking about, located right next to the live casino. 412-928-9370. In case you missed it, Dwayne Underwood Jr. released by the, or DFA'd by the Pirates. They had to do something because Vince Velasquez has been activated. He will start today against Luis Castillo, game two of the series. Pirates won last night 11-6. They hit seven home runs, the most in franchise history. Last time they did that, 2003, two by Sawinski. Reynolds hit one. You also had Santana with one. Marcano had one. All totaled seven of them as they win that game 11-6. They'll need run support today because Castillo is very stingy on the mound for Seattle. Also, we're talking a lot about the Steelers and their offseason, their OTAs now. Once they're done with this, they're going to get a little break. And then it's going off to training camp starting at the end of July in a very competitive AFC North and specifically an AFC conference altogether. Very good quarterbacks, a lot of teams that you would expect are going to be tough to deal with. But I still think their schedule is navigable, if that's a word. It's one of those schedules that I think, obviously, you have to win in your own division. It starts first and foremost there. But beyond that, they have some games that I think they could be, you know, especially early in the season, to build up a little bit of a comfort area with them until they get late in the year where they got some tough ones, especially on the road. We'll see how it goes, but Kenny Pickett looks comfortable. They've got a lot of weapons. Alex Highsmith is a guy who's willing to come in at work despite no extension, although I think he'll get one before the start of this season. You remember how the Steelers do business. Sometimes it goes right up to the first game the night before you get a deal done. But I know they want to lock him up, and why not? The guy's been terrific, and he is really one of the nicest people you ever want to meet as well. DeAndre Hopkins has been released by Arizona. They couldn't find a deal with him. Nobody wanted him, especially at the price. He's due a lot of money, a $31 million cap hit for Arizona. They part company, but he's available to anyone at this point, and I wonder what team will get him because he's still at age 31. I think has a lot of good football left in him. Back to the lines we go. Dennis in Harmerville. What's up, Dennis? How are you? Welcome to the program.
Thank you, Bob. Hey, Bob. There's no strategy with Bob Nutting as far as winning. I'm going to be 70 in August, and this guy, you're never going to have a 500 team even with Bob Nutting. He's a bottom-line guy. He's been here, what, 15 years, 16 years? We've seen this over and over again. There is no strategy to win with Bob Nutting. Bottom line.
All right, Dennis. Thank you. I will agree he's bottom line. Bottom line Bob. I don't think there's any question about that. But I also think there is a strategy. The strategy has backfired because they haven't been willing to add to it when need be, like you did back in 13, 14, 15. You know that story. I'm not going to repeat it. But I do think there's a strategy. Ben Cherington has made some trades to supplement some of the talent in their system. I think they have a lot of talent. Whether or not that talent turns into what it needs to turn into will be the ultimate question. They've been willing to lock up players, and I think they're working on a deal for Mitch Keller right now, and I'd like to see that come through. And so you got him, Reynolds, Hayes. I don't know about, you know, Hayes at least hit a home run last night, too. That's only his second of the season. But they need O'Neill Cruz to be a superstar, quite frankly. They need, you know, Travis Swaggerty to come up here and have the kind of swag necessary to be a regular outfielder and a guy who can hit for average and power up here, because I think he has both of those in his repertoire. They need Quinn Priester to be a top three pitcher. They have people, and they're going to get the number one overall pick again in this draft. That doesn't even mention Henry Davis, who's hitting the ball off the cover off the ball down in Double A. He will be up here eventually. You know, the thing about the Pirates, what people are not understanding right now is why he's not up here now. And I would love to see his bat up here now, and I especially wanted to see that during the time when they were struggling. But they really believe that Austin Hedges is the kind of catcher who helps their team be the one of the top teams in baseball when it comes to starters ERA. He's been really good with those guys, and they like that. So there's no necessarily rush to put Henry Davis behind home plate or Andy Rodriguez. Again, long term, those two guys will be here. For now, it's not happening probably faster than people want. But hey, you know, they're a half game out of first right now. We'll see what happens heading to Memorial Day, and I don't think many people saw that. But all these guys that they have in their system, they've acquired, they all have a chance. By the end of this year, I hope there are 5 and 6 that you could count on and say, this is the core, whether it's Davis, Priester, anyone else down there who could come up and make a difference. I think Tucapita Marcano has shown you that's a nice trade acquisition. David Bednar was a nice trade acquisition as your closer. So they've made some good deals. It's just a matter of adding to it with supplemental guys in their system. Let's go to Frank in Chippewa. Joins us right now on the Fan Hotline. Hey, Frank.
Hey, Bob. How you doing?
Good. How are you?
I'm hanging out with my dog, Bentley, here. My wife's making me stay in the
Bentley, desk. That was our dog's name. He passed away a couple years ago. I miss Bentley. That's a great name for a dog.
Well, he's a poodle Bichon, you know, and he's a good dude. Just turned 13. So
dogs are the best. They really are.
That's funny you got the same name. Anyways, on DeAndre Hopkins, I heard a guy calling earlier on him, and, you know, I wouldn't want him to block a lot. You know, that guy, he's got stickum on his hands. He would look great in a Steeler uniform. I have a bad feeling he's going to go to the Ravens, but
that's who I think, too. I think they're going to pair him up with Zay Flowers, their draft pick, along with OBJ. Now, you can wonder how much do they have left. But, man, if you're, you know, they doubled down now on Lamar Jackson. He needs more weapons.
Well, you signed him for 2 years. That's something I wish the Steelers would do, that because he's spectacular. He'd be their number one right away. No doubt about it.
Well, I don't know that they're going to do that. I mean, I think they feel confident what they have with Johnson and Pickens especially. I think Hopkins, you know, right now is what Pickens could turn into quickly. You know, I think he's going to be the guy to go down the field and make those kinds of Hopkins catches.
Right. Do you remember him ever dropping the ball, though? I don't remember him ever dropping a ball.
You're talking about DeAndre Hopkins?
Yeah, not
DeAndre. Yeah, not many.
Yeah.
Not many. And you're right. That was one of the things that was good about him, if you're trying to analyze him, is that you get him the ball, he's going to make a catch. But again, that whole system in Arizona is all messed up right now. You know, I don't know what they are doing. They're trying to rebuild, and it's not a place where a lot of the guys who've been around there want to be.
That's correct, but I still think he would look great in a Steeler. He would look fantastic in a Steeler.
You know what? I wouldn't disagree with that. It would depend on the money, and I'm not so sure how much they have. They want to keep a reserve just in case they need it. And I still have questions about the inside linebackers. They've totally gutted that department. They brought in a whole bunch of new players. I'll be anxious to see how they do, but
they can restructure contracts, Bob. Too. I mean, Cam Hayward's making $20 million a year, and
he'll be off the books in a couple of years unless he keeps going at the rate he's going, which is unhuman like. But that'll save you a lot of money. So there is money. Plus, you have a quarterback on a rookie contract still. That affords you opportunities to do something like that. So would it be outlandish to think that way? No. It would just depend on how much money he still would want, because he ain't going to do it for cheap. I can tell you that.
Well, if I'm Omar Khan, I'd at least make the phone call, you know?
Sure. I'm sure they will, just to double check. All right, man. Thanks. Appreciate it. All right, Bob. Have a nice weekend. Oh, I'm sorry, Frank. Let's go to Bob now, who joins us in Monroeville. Bob is on the hotline. What's up, Bob?
Hi, how are you?
Good.
Andre Hopkins, but I think we're okay. Like you said, the inside linebacker is the only thing, and GM and last GM of the Penguins would follow like Khan doing it. However, there's one question I can't understand this. Look, Boston is up 3-1, and then Bergeron, by four almost the best players they have, and they don't win a game after that, okay? And they lose the series when they were up 3-1. And then the same thing with Carolina. Harris, you know, Keynes, they brought Turvin, and he is one of their best players, and they get swept. It's kind of like if Penguins bring Crosby while he was absent for some kind of injury, and then we don't win another game in the playoffs. That's kind of head-scratcher for me. The last thing I want to say is that Highsmith, it seems like the outside line, the edge rushers, it takes few years for them to really get their timing, you know, unless somebody with like Watt, which is basically is a different kind of player. I think Highsmith is going to just get better because you remember Bud Dupree? He couldn't do anything. And then all of a sudden, after a few years, he got it together. He became awesome player, and then we had to lose him because he
went. Well, he hit that right in terms of he got better in year four. The first three were not so much. And then as it turned out, they didn't want to pay that, and they were right because he went to Tennessee and produced just 7 sacks in 19 games.
Yeah, but, you know, when you have 2 edge rushers like we used to have, if you remember, we had these
Woodley and Harrison, and you can go back to a lot of guys.
When you have 2, it is just tough because, you know, you pay attention to
not
right,
just 2, Bob, but you also have Hayward in the middle. You got to worry about those guys, and that's why, you know, a guy like Keanu Benton, who they drafted, they think he's going to come right in and play right off the bat in the middle there. They're going to have some beef in the middle, which helps the guys on the outside. The inside guys, though, they've been chasing that ever since Shazier's injury, and they still have not found the right complement of players.
But Steeler got a lot bigger, though.
Yeah, they did.
A lot bigger in both
sides. You're exactly right. They want to be a physical team that dominates you, that sort of beats you up. Thanks, Bob. Appreciate the call.
Thank you.
412-928-9370 is the number to call. So, yes, the Steelers have gotten bigger. They've gotten more physical. They want to be nasty on that line of scrimmage. And if so, that would make you think that they're going to want to have a prominent role for Najee Harris. That's one thing we haven't talked about. Najee Harris is coming up eventually. They're going to have to deal with him on a contract. You don't see many running backs, I don't care how highly their draft, get second-year opportunities, second contracts I'm talking about. Would he be somebody they'd be willing to do it to? Or if Jaylen Warren, who, by the way, put on a lot of muscle, he looks really good. What is he the guy who eventually does it? As an undrafted guy, which is always a lesson, do you need to draft running backs in the first round? A lot of teams still do that. But then again, after 4 or 5 years, you wonder how much they have left. We'll talk about that and Najee Harris when we come back. It's 412-928-9370. Show is sponsored by PNC Bank. Make today the day. Number one Cochran. Go one better and ride in style. And join us for the number one Cochran Sports Showdown tomorrow night, 11:35 on KDKA. You're looking for a good place to hang out this weekend? Try Iron Rock Tap House in Greensboro, right next to the Live Casino. Najee Harris, how much would you give him on a next deal? Next. We are driven by number one Cochran. Ride in style at all 19 number one Cochran locations. PNC Bank, make today the day. And check out Virtual Wallet at PNC Bank and Iron Rock Tap House in Greensboro. Come see what everyone is talking about. So last night the Pirates had 7 home runs, as I mentioned. But you may not have known this, but Andrew McCutchen led off the game with a home run. Do you know the Pirates haven't done that since 2011, led off a game with a home run? That seems like that's a long time. But that was it. The last time, I think it was against Colorado back in 2011. So that got the night started. 7 home runs, Pirates most in their history. And they just DFA'd Dwayne Underwood Jr. So you wonder who's going to go to the bullpen. They had to do that to make way for Vince Velasquez, who returns and will start today against Luis Castillo. 412-928-9370. This is also the weekend for the Indy 500. And want to wish all the very best to our friend Chip Ganassi. who once again is in position to win. They've won, I think, five times. Ganassi Racing has won at the Brickyard, and Alex Palou is on the pole, but he has four of the top 10 riders right now in position. Marcus Ericsson won it last year. Scott Dixon won it several years ago. And Takuma Sato, a guy that not many people talk about, but he's won it twice for Chip Ganassi Racing. So best of luck to Chip. Let's go back to the lines. We got Dan in Imperial joining us right now. Hello, Dan. How are you?
Hey, I'm great, Bob. Thanks for taking my call, man.
Sure.
So with Najee Harris, I think this year we're going to see him be something we haven't seen yet. I think because with the upgrades to the line, and all, I mean, this is all depending on if he, I think we're going to see a great Najee Harris, which I think in turn will lead to another contract.
So you're one of the few who believe that. Like, a lot of people don't think second contracts are available to most running backs, and we still have a year but another year to go for that. So you think that his numbers will increase by how much? I mean, what do you expect from him this year?
Sorry to cut you off there, Bob. So I think that because of the relationship he has with Tomlin, that's probably why that will occur. And that's, like I said, though, I think he's going to be productive. And if that's the case, I would expect a second contract. But if not, Jalen Warren's a good replacement for him.
Are you one of those people, Dan, who would draft a running back in the first round in today's NFL?
No. But I didn't think it was a terrible move either, though, just because of the situation that happened with Le'Veon. We didn't really have a good running back at that point, and Najee was a good pick, I believe.
The one thing about running back contracts, they're not very good right now. I mean, you look at some of the guys who are getting them. The big money goes to wide receivers. The big money will go to left tackles. The big money will go to, quarterbacks. The running back position has been rather beaten up when it comes to long-term deals. You don't see many of them going on. So I think it's important for him to put up a really big year this year and at least raise that question about how much it might be worth to give him. But I also am very bullish. They were the ones to discover Jalen Warren and bring him in here as an undrafted guy. He would get another deal. His would be much more affordable if you believe you can get on without a guy like Najee Harris.
Yeah, no, I do think that with, money-wise, the Steelers, they are a passing team. Obviously, you have to be in this NFL. But it's obvious to me that the Steelers are looking to ground and pound.
Yes, they are.
And if that's the case, and Najee proves that he can be that guy, which I think that this year he will be, and possibly the year after, again, if he stays healthy.
All right, Dan, appreciate it. Should be fun to watch. Thanks. This year. There are going to be a lot of things. People always talk about preseason football, how they don't want to watch it, but they do watch it. They watch it in big numbers because oftentimes it's the opportunity to see people that you haven't seen yet. You want to see Darnell Washington play. You want to see, even though Patrick Peterson may not play very much in the preseason, I got to believe he's going to be out there just to see what goes on with the combinations they utilize there. You want to see Joey Porter Jr. Play over there. You want to see Corey Trice. What can he do? And this will be the first opportunity we have for you. We have three games on KDK this year, the first of which will be at Tampa Bay, and that'll be here before you know it. In August, that all kicks off. In the meantime, I want to hope all of you out there have a wonderful weekend. And again, as I said at the beginning of the show, it's important to remember what Memorial Day is all about. It's, yes, the beginning of summer, and yes, people have fun outside of cookouts and get-togethers, and yes, you should. But also don't forget about the people who've sacrificed, because that's what this holiday, if you want to call it that, is about. It's about a remembrance of the people who've sacrificed and have given the ultimate sacrifice for their family, for their country, to make everything available that we have to us. So keep that in mind as you go through this weekend. And it's supposed to be a beautiful weekend. So let's talk about fan weather, which is brought to you by Sun Chevrolet. The sun is shining. Spring is here. Time to get great deals on Silverados in Colorado. Stop in online at sunchevy.com. Today, it is sunny. It's going to be sunny. It got some clouds that'll mix in, but it's a comfortable holiday weekend. Start with a 77-degree temperature. It's been a great week, actually. Tonight, patchy clouds, low of 52. Rinse, wash, and repeat. Tomorrow, you're going to get the same. Another beautiful day and into Monday as well. And then next week, Joel Nelson. The temperature is going to hit 90 apparently on one of these days. So we're going to go crank up the heat as you head into June. That's all coming up. Thank you very much to Joel. Appreciate it, Joel, as always. You got Paul Alexander coming up next. Then you have Josh Roundtree with the North Shore Tavern leadoff show. And then Pirate Baseball, they try to make it two in a row and win a series maybe. They won the first game of the Texas series and they couldn't get it done. What will they do today? It's Vince Velasquez making his return against Luis Castillo. That's coming your way after 4 o'clock right here on your home for Pirate Baseball. That's 93.7 The Fan. I bid you adieu. Have a great weekend. We'll see you again next Saturday. Actually, I'll see you Monday for Cook and Joe minus Joe, but with Cook on a Memorial Day. Join us from 10 to 2 on Sports Radio 93.7 The Fan.